Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are, that you love us, that you care for us. And Lord, we thank you for every father here. Lord, there's such a blessing from you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that our fathers will feel more equipped, that they'll feel more loved by you. And Lord, that we'd be challenged this morning by the message that you have placed on my heart. And Lord, that you just speak to everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. And so how many of you men got a gift this morning? How many of you men got a gift this morning? All right, we got a gift this morning. And sometimes we're given gifts that we don't really want, am I right? Sometimes we're given gifts that we don't really want. And we've had, the last few nights, we've had a raccoon come on our deck overlooking our, over our kind of porch area, or over a deck cover over our deck, and it leaves deposits of things. And this morning, 3:45, I had my window open, and I heard the raccoon, and I kind of screamed at it. And that was my 3:45 morning present. And how many of you have had raccoons in your yard? Julia kind of mentioned that on Facebook. If you are a raccoon hunter, let's talk after, okay? So how many of you have received presents? What was the present you got, Calvin?
Croquet set.
Awesome. Okay. Moses? A beautiful car? Oh, I'm like, I've got to live at your house. Okay. I'm like, my wife just got me chocolate, but that's good. And oh, this is my dad, by the way. This is Ken and Joan. Nice to have you guys here. You guys now have somebody to blame, all right? So if you guys have any beefs about me or... So in a story about some of the worst Mother's Day gifts ever given, the Houston Chronicle reported a story about a fellow named Jerry Maltz giving his wife an iron. He got the message when she gave him an ironing board for Mother's Day, for Father's Day. So what makes a good father? What makes a good man? Any ideas? Patience. What else?
Integrity.
Loyalty. Perseverance. Okay, these are all good. What about you guys up in the cheap seats up there? Children. Oh, yeah. Fathers and children go hand in hand, don't they? You know, most of us have a pretty good idea what a good father, a good man looks like. Media would say active, strong, masculine, athletic, competitive, a natural leader, tough, macho, doesn't show pain, not controlled by emotion. Laid back, cool, confident in all situations. Never cries, never shows weakness. He's in charge, he's a stud. He's an action hero in disguise, bringing muscles, mayhem, mad combat skills to every situation. I showed you a picture of two great dads. And I brought these dads to History Maker, and they didn't know what was coming. These guys, by, I think this was Saturday night, they were ready for a sleep. This is Brooke and Pastor Joel, and I caught them at a great moment. All our students were actually up at the stage, and they're ready to go, and they're ready to get, you know, fired up in the mosh pit and dancing around, and we had such a great time. But our dads worked so hard, and you can totally tell by that picture. So sorry to tell you about those things were wrong. We've been brainwashed by myths of what a man and what a father looks like. And those are all male stereotypes, right? About being tough, macho. We had a really great moment on Saturday night where the preacher, Mike Pilavachi, was sharing on the Holy Spirit, and he felt, you know, I'm not going to actually share. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wanted to do amazing work in our youth's lives, in our students' lives. And that night, we had multiple students come to know Jesus. Either come to know Jesus for the first time, or they were second-time commitments, and seeing Joel Sample just having words of wisdom for people and praying for other people that he didn't know. It was such an amazing time of just what the Holy Spirit can do. I'd like to say I'm very similar to Mel Gibson in Braveheart, Russell Crowe in Gladiator, or Mark Wahlberg in every movie like Transformers. But I'm not. And there is no perfect dad. And you may come close, but still not perfect. And to some of you, Father's Day is a great honor for you to love and honor your dad. And for some of you, maybe Father's Day isn't a great day. And it may bring sad memories and maybe past hurts. And today our hope for you is that you will feel encouraged, that you will feel loved by God the Father this morning. Maybe your father is someone you have looked up to and tried to emulate. Even though there's no perfect dad, mine came close. And there's things that really impacted me about my father. You know, my dad was there for me. He went to all my sporting events. He even coached sports that he wasn't very good at, sorry to say. Right? Who's ever coached a sport that you have no clue even how to play? But you're just there because nobody else is going to coach. Who's been there? Yeah, a few of you, right? You know, my dad also drove me to youth groups about 40 minutes to an hour away so I could be around other Christian students. So I'd go to Salmon Arm, I'd go to Armstrong. And these are all things that impacted me in such a great way. And even though we couldn't afford what others had at times, we always had enough. And I'm not trying to butter him up to try to get extra allowance today, although that'd be cool. That kind of ended when I was really young. But a few years back, there was a social media fad going around. It was called the doppelganger. Have you guys ever heard of the doppelganger? Now, it's where you put pictures of famous people that look like you, all right? And you put it as your profile picture. And this was mine. Brad Pitt. I'm a little sad to say that that there was a lot of laughing there, all right? And I put it as a joke, and it was funny that I had a few people that didn't take it as a joke, and they're like, that's not true. That's not true. And the reason why I talk about guys in movies and doppelgangers, I find there's always people in our lives that we try to be like. But we have the greatest example of how to be a man from our Bible, and that's Jesus. Who's with me here? We need to try it to be like Jesus. Although we can never be him, we need to take his characteristics and try to emulate those things in our life. My life has been changed by him. And because of that, I want people to meet him and be impacted by Jesus. This summer, on a side note, this summer we're going to be start having a sermon series called The Close Encounters. And these close encounters are stories in the Bible of people who met God in such a real way and how their lives were impacted. And July 1st, Faye will be sharing the first message in that sermon series. So we're really excited about that. Something to really look forward to and pray into, as we've got five different people that'll be preaching. And when Faye was talking to us, man, we, like she had like Joel and I like just like we were just ready to like we were ready to hear her sermon right there, and she was ready to preach it already. So be excited. This morning, my message is called The Good Father, and we are going to talk about the parable of the lost son. And the main character in the story is the forgiving father, whose character remains constant throughout the story. It is a true picture of God. In telling this story, Jesus identifies himself with God and his loving attitude towards the lost. And the younger symbolizes the lost, the tax collectors, the sinners of that day, and the elder brother represents the self-righteous, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. And the major theme of this parable is not so much about conversion, but rather than the restoration of the believer into fellowship with the Father. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you're a God that will love us no matter what we do, and that you're a God that loves restoration. And Lord, we pray for our hearts, Lord, if our hearts aren't right with you, Lord, that you would challenge us this morning. In this story, the father waits eagerly for his son's return. We see a progression in these three parables, right? We see the one in the 100 with the lost sheep. We see the lost coin, the one coin out of the 10. And then we also see the lost son in verses 11 to 32 in chapter 15. And these parables all show God's love for us, every individual. So if we look around, look at your neighbor. God loves you all. Isn't that great? All those people that you walk around, Sharon, that person that you are with every morning at McDonald's, right? You go to McDonald's, right? I'm going to join you one time. I love their coffee, by the way. That person, you know, we should be praying. Pastor Mike's message last week was very dynamic. It was really encouraging. I hope that you took those things to heart and that we're reaching out to our friend. I've been praying for our neighbor and just praying for opportunities that I can share to him. Have your neighbors over for barbecues. Have them, you know, get to know them, right? We have this funny, we just leave our door open, and if they're, you know, we hope their dog just kind of runs into our house, and we kind of just hang out with their dog, and it's fun. And today we're going to talk about three amazing characteristics of the father in the parable of the lost son. Let's read. The scriptures, if we could fast forward this a little bit, and I don't know why it did this. It was good before. Oh, okay. All right, so that's it. If you have your Bible today or you have your iPods, and don't text, okay? It's okay to bring your iPod, but don't text. The Good Father. Number one, shows freedom to make mistakes. Verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of the father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Are you thankful for the father figures and mentors in your life that allowed you to make mistakes at times? How many? Amen. I'm really thankful for my father for you know always having grace towards me. I'm thankful for all the The pastors, I've worked with a few pastors, and most of them were allowed me to be able to make mistakes and learn from those things. You know, in my spiritual journey, I'm thankful for God's grace. And isn't parenting so like this? Now, you'd think that you would have to pass a test or a course to be a parent. Am I right? You should probably have to pass a test or a course to be a parent. Like I remember when Noah was young there, like, you know, we could sleep in super easy, and then this you know, this little baby would wake us up all the time, and he would need feeding, and he'd need all that the pampering and caring for. And, you know, we with driving, you know, you have a written test, and you have a test to get your N, and then you have a test to get rid of your N. You know, that's what you probably should do for parenting. Am I right? That would just kind of equip us. And if you don't know how to become a parent today, I want you to talk to Pastor Joel, okay, after the service. All right, Pastor Joel? Parenting is, there's a lot of trial and error in parenting. We learn from our mistakes. And now the father in the story doesn't make mistakes, but his kids do. And we see graciousness of the father when the kids don't even deserve it. The son asks for his share. The father agrees, knowing nothing good will be able to happen from this. And he had a right to ask for it, but it actually implies that he wishes his father was dead. Now, if you want a buzzkill at a dinner table, ask your parents about what they're leaving you when they die. Would that be awkward? It's like, hey, so your car, like, yeah, I would like that car. Yeah, something you probably don't want to do. But instead of rebuking his son, the father actually grants his request. And this is a picture of God letting a sinner go his own way. The father knew destruction would happen, and a sinful nature that brings constant discontent. And the son goes through dissatisfaction and disappointment. The son loses all what his father had worked for. He gets a job feeding pigs, something that he could have done for his father, but here he is on his own. And he gets paid so little that he actually wants to eat what the pigs are eating, because he has no money for food. And all his friends left him. Even the animals had a better life than he did. This is a picture of sin, of what sin does in a person when he rejects the father's will. You know, as a teenager living in Malakwa, who's ever heard of Malakwa? Malakwa is kind of halfway between Sikkimus and Revelstoke. And when I was a teenager, I really didn't like living there. I didn't really fully understand that God had a calling, a will for our family. I thought it was more a will for my parents. My dad just retired from full-time ministry in Salmon Arm after, 40-something years. And hopefully I can last the same. I didn't fully understand as a teenager. I was kind of bitter, and you know, I didn't really care for the place. And the name Malakwa actually comes from Big Mosquito. That's what Malakwa means, Big Mosquito. And at one time in the province paper, they actually called Malakwa, marijuana capital of Canada, all right? And thank God, to the grace of God, that I never smoked marijuana in high school, or never, right? promise. Yeah. I remember what my mom and dad taught me, and I dodged bullets, okay? Not not literally, but figurative bullets in my life as a teenager because I actually listen. I listen to them most of the time, right? And I remember in this one scenario, I was 15 and this girl was 14, and we kind of liked each other. You know the way things go, right? And I said, okay, I need to talk to my parents and see what they say about this. And it was kind of a mutual agreement that I should wait till I'm 16, and I did. And about a month later, she started dating this other person, and she ended up getting pregnant. There's a lot of wisdom in parents and teens who, you know, I talk to teens every week, and sometimes teens don't understand their parents, and guess what? Parents don't understand their teens, right? But teens, there's a lot of wisdom in what your parents, there's reasons why they have rules, right? And it's good to listen. You know, life is easier when you're with your parents. You get free housing. Come on now, right? Free housing. You get free food. You know, you don't have to pay a phone bill. Car, like my dad would drive me around everywhere. It was awesome. I didn't have to pay for gas. And mom's homemade cooking is way better than Ichiban. Do you agree? There's a great quote. Sin always promises more than it gives, takes you further than you wanted to go, and leaves you worse off than you were before. The son reflects on the decision. His painful circumstances help him to remember what it was like when he was with his father. Isn't that true about our Heavenly Father? And when we're with our Heavenly Father, He brings us hope. And how many of us have had realizations like this? When we're apart from God, there is no hope. But when we're with Him, we feel at peace. And the son makes a plan to go home, willing to just be a servant. He was prepared to fall at his father's feet and repent for what he had done and ask for forgiveness and mercy. This may be you this morning. Are you willing to fall at your father's feet this morning? Give him those things that are on your mind. Give him those things that are on your heart, the stresses. Maybe you haven't been living the life that God desires you to live. Maybe today is the day that you can make that decision. It's not too late. And the good father is going to welcome you back, just like this story. The second point is the good father shows forgiveness with the second, third, fourth chance. Verse 20 to 24. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, visualize this. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, this is beautiful, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. That's my favorite verse. They began to celebrate. I remember one time we were moving houses. My parents bought a mobile to put in the church parking lot. There's kind of like a grassy area. And I remember my dad working in the back, and he left the keys in the car of our Eagle Vista, and bring back painful memories for him. I didn't warn him. But he had this trailer on the back of the car, and I was like, I would sometimes just drive around. I was, 14 or so. I would just kind of drive around the parking lot, and I was like, oh, there's a trailer, no problem. So I was, driving around, and, And then I was like, oh, I should try going in reverse. Like, it's, you know, it'll be no problem. And so I'm going in reverse, and then I take a, you know, kind of sharp corner, and the trailer goes, the car and the trailer met up with a massive dent in the car. Yeah, that wasn't a good moment. That wasn't a great moment, but, you know, my father was very gracious, and eventually I ended up with that car. And he didn't end up getting it professionally fixed because it would have cost a lot of money. And so he kind of did it, kind of a patch job himself, did the best he could. So, you know, every day I had it when I was at Bible college, I had this constant reminder of that foolish moment when I was young, but also it showed the graciousness of my dad. You know, I love the visual of this father in this story. And Jesus portrays the father as waiting for his son. He doesn't just wait for his son. He looks patiently. He looks every day. He missed his son. He searched for him. He noticed from a long distance off that his father had... He noticed him from a long distance off, and his father had such compassion for him. He saw the filth that was on him and that was in him. But he overlooked that, and he saw potential in his son. Just like us today, God sees our potential. He doesn't see all that filth that maybe we're here with this morning. He sees potential in you. The father actually ran to him. And in back in those days, it wasn't right for a man to run. Why do you think he would greet him in such an unconventional way? Why do you think? Why do you think? He loved him. He missed him. What else? What's that? He was joyful. He was excited to start that restoration with him. He doesn't lecture him. He doesn't hold grudges. He forgives him and accepts him. And this shows a great picture of how our Heavenly Father feels towards his kids and those who repent, even those who have made big mistakes. God loves us. He cares for us. He doesn't want any of us to perish. This boy expected to be a slave. He didn't think that he would be his son again. The father actually orders his servants to go get his robe. It was a sign of being back in the family. A ring, sign of authority, of sonship. And sandals. And sandals was a sign that servants didn't wear sandals. Sandals showed that he was part of the family. And they have a party. And they have a fattened calf. And they have T-bone steak. Come on now. Who's excited for lunch? All right. Celebration happened because the son who had been dead is now alive. He was lost and now is found. The third thing we learn from the good father is he shows love to all his kids. Verse 25 to 32. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I would celebrate with my friends. I'm glad times have changed, eh? Just give me money. Just don't give me a goat. That's Although the fattened calf would be good because there'd be lots of good meat, right? But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, was lost, but now is found. Parents, our kids are a gift of God. They are a gift from God. And what I like to think is that they are on loan to me, that I'm just trying to do the best I can, and I keep on having to ask God for wisdom to raise our kids. But I know that God watches over my kids, and God watches over your kids. Pray for your kids when they're at school. Pray for them when they're at camps, or pray for them when they're at their friends. You know, that God will be protecting them. You know, my two kids are so different. My two kids are so different. Haley's kind of the spunky one, the life of the party, you know, she hates bedtime because she just wants to have fun all the time. Like some food, right? She's very similar to me, except for the food part, as you could probably tell. You know, Noah is quiet, you know, always does, you know, what he's told. He's kind of mysterious. He's very similar to my wife. You know, our kids are all different. They all bring something different to the table, kind of like husband and wife, right? They all have their unique characteristics. You know, the boys in this story are so different, and the father loved them regardless of how childish they were. You know, the youngest, life of the party, gets bored easy, goes away, but his father still loves him. The oldest worked hard, obeyed his father, you know, brought no disgrace. But the oldest son, this oldest son illustrates Pharisees and scribes whom outwardly lived blameless lives, but inwardly their attitudes were so toxic. The oldest son didn't get it. But how does the father react? The father reacts by going out to where the oldest son is. He's hurt, he's angry, he's jealous. And the boy appeals by proudly proclaiming his self-righteousness. I did this. I deserve this. In comparison to his brother's sinfulness. He avoids acknowledging the youngest as his own brother and said that he was the one that was worthy of the celebration. And then that his father wasn't grateful for all the work that he had done. There was no joy in his brother coming back home. He chooses to be alone, to be angry. And this is similar to the Pharisees with their religion of good works. They hope to earn blessings from God by their obedience to merit eternal life. They fail to understand the grace of God and fail to understand forgiveness. Do we fail to understand forgiveness? Some of us have these big hurts in our life. They're massive things that I wouldn't understand. We don't want to fail to understand the grace of God and fail to understand God's forgiveness. You know, this message that God placed on my heart is for me as much as it is for you. You know, we have so much hope, love, joy, peace because of Jesus, that we need to show it to others. You know, the 3 points I mentioned, that we need to show freedom to our kids to make mistakes, to show forgiveness a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth time, to show equal love to your kids. And the one thing we didn't mention is the man's relationship with his mother. The man's relationship with, no, sorry, his wife. The greatest gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother. Do you want me to repeat that, men? The greatest gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother. Let's just bow our heads. We've kind of unraveled a lot this morning. But I want to give opportunity, if you're here and maybe you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, that you don't have a relationship with my Heavenly Father, with the Heavenly Father, and if that's something you desire to do, I encourage you just to raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. If you'd like to accept Jesus in your life. Maybe today we have what we'd call a prodigal son. Maybe someone that knew Jesus and maybe you've been walking away from him. Maybe you've been doing kind of what's on your mind, the things that gratify you, but maybe they don't gratify God. And today that you want that change in your life. Today you want to make that right with your Heavenly Father. If that's you today, just raise your hand. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. Just say, God, take a hold of my life. Ask him, is there things that need work? Is there things that need tweaking this morning?
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.